Happy Halloween, everyone. My name is Martin Willis, and I thought I'd give a little bonus Halloween day. It's actually going to be a blue moon this evening once, and blue moon, this happens. Actually, 1944 was the last time that there was a blue moon during Halloween. I'm not sure how that works around the world, but I can tell you, at least in the United States, that's the fact. I made a couple little sound segments, like the opening. Just off the cuff here, I'm just doing this one take. And what I'm doing is I'm telling four stories. Two were related to me by really close friends that I trust. And the last two happened to me and my family. So these are why I'm calling this true stories, because these, as far as I know, are 100% true. I know what happened to me is I'm 100% convinced with that. So I'm going to start out by talking about a friend I had for a number of years. His name was Steve. He worked locally at a Navy yard, but he was a civil servant. He was an electrical engineer. And one day I was over at his house for brunch with his family, and we got to talking about strange things. I have no idea how we got on the topic. But he told me that when he was young, he moved along with his family. His two brothers and himself shared a room in this farmhouse. They moved in upper state New York. They were raising corn or something. It was a sizable farm, but it was a small house. And so he had to share the room with his brothers. He wasn't too happy about that. But so he wakes. It was sometime in the fall, October or November. He wakes up and he's freezing cold. One of his brothers put the window up. So he put it back down and crawled back in bed. And the next morning, he's yelling at his brothers. And they said they didn't do it. It wasn't either one of them. So another day or two goes by, and he had locked the window. Sure thing, it happened again. He woke both his brothers up in the middle of the night. He said, "What are you guys doing? Who's playing the prank on me?" And they both denied it. And so he thought he'd get smart at this thing. So he went, he didn't tell his parents or anything. He went and got a hammer and a nail, and he put a nail in just above the window so his brothers could, you know, play the prank on him anymore. So another day or two goes by, he's fine. And then he wakes up again in the middle of the night, wakes his brothers up, and they look and the nail is sitting on the floor. So they're saying, honest, they didn't do it. It wasn't them. He told his parents. And without telling his parents, he decided he was going to fix whatever's happening. So he put screws right into the window on both sides. And he figured that would do it. So like a week or two went by. He was fine. It wasn't happening anymore. All of a sudden, one night, he wakes up in the middle of the night. And he looks. The window's wide open and the screws are on the floor. And his brothers swear they had nothing to do with it. This kept happening. And he had everything he tried to do to close that window, and the window kept opening. A neighbor came over, and they were in the kitchen with his parents. And they started talking about a fire that had happened in the house in the 1940s. And that there was a little boy that died of smoke inhalation in that room. So I thought that was a great story. Next one's coming up, and I have the sound effects in between. So the next story is from another friend of mine that I knew for a number of years. He was a police officer, and he later became a captain of the police department in Northampton, New Hampshire. So we were friends for quite a while. And one day, I don't know, it was somewhere in the morning, he calls me frantic and he says, "Hey, can you come over?" So I said, "Sure." So I went over and we were sitting and having coffee. He says, "I got this story to tell you." And I said, "Yeah, let's hear it." So he said, "I don't know if you're going to believe me, but it really happened." He says, "I'm so shaken up over it." So I go, "Tell me, tell me." So he was on the job the night prior. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, he was driving on this road called Lovering Road in Northampton, New Hampshire. It's swamp. There's marsh on both sides of the road. No trees or anything. It's just open swamp areas, or marsh, as they're called in New England. So he's driving along the road, and walking toward him is this young teenage girl, and she's crying, and, you know, probably about 13, 14, 15 years old. So his first thought is she's a runaway. So he pulled over, and right before, and as he was getting out of the car, he didn't see her anymore. And so he took his flashlight of and floodlight both, and was waving back and forth through the marshes where there was a little stream, and he saw absolutely nothing. He was totally baffled. How could she just disappear like that? So then as he's outside looking for her, there's a call on the radio, and dispatch says there was an accident, and the accident was about a mile away, something like that, maybe less. I'm not sure. I can't remember. So he drove to the accident. Somebody had called it in. He drove to the where the accident was, and it was a station wagon up against a tree. And supposedly a young girl took off with her parents' car, upset. And so he opened the door, and there was a body of a young girl, and the face was the same face as the girl that was walking toward him in the marsh. Okay, so the next story, this happened to my family. Now, my father had bought a home in Kittery, Maine, where now stands all the Kittery Outlet malls. And the house, this isn't the house I'm putting up on YouTube, but it looked very, very much like that. It was an early colonial home that sat up on a hill, and he had a little antique shop inside. And it was a nice, nice home. And my sister had an operation, and she wanted to recover at that house. So my father, she lived alone, and she wanted to recover there where my father could care for her. So she was talking to her on the phone, asking her how she was doing one day. And she says, "You know, this place is haunted." And I said, "You're kidding me." And she goes, "No, I'm convinced of it." And I said, "Wow." I didn't get into the details with her about it. At that time, we were talking about other things, I guess. And I don't know why I didn't get in the detail. But anyway, my several months went by, maybe even up to a year or so. And my father was going away for a weekend and asked me to stay there and take care of his dog. So it was no problem at all. And there was a back stairway that went from the kitchen up into the rear part of the house where the guest room was. And on the outside of the door, inside, when you're inside of the kitchen, the outside of the door was a little hasp hook, like a lock. I'm not sure what it was doing there. But anyway, so I'd go up the stairway. And when I got up the next morning and came down, the door was locked. So I'd push against it. And I thought, that was strange. I'm the only one staying there. So I walked around the main stairway, came down, unlocked it. Now, this happened for the 2 or 3 nights I was there. It happened every time. So I went around and saw it was locked, sure enough, and unlocked it. And if it happened just once, I could just say it was a coincidence when I closed the door. Maybe it bounced up or something. But anyway, so time went on. I ran to my sister. We were talking, and I don't know how we got on the subject, but I told her about the locking at my father's house. And I said, well, what happened to you when you were there? She goes, well, noises and footsteps. She said, but the strangest thing is I looked over one day and there was a small girl in a white dress. And she just like faded away. And that was it. She was staring at me. So it really gave me goosebumps because there was no reason for her to say that. So when I saw my dad the next time, it says, Cheryl says there's a little girl in a white dress. It's haunted. And he started laughing. I said, yeah, I see her occasionally. And I said, you're not scared? And he said, no, she's not going to hurt anyone. And I said, is it a ghost? And he says, well, I think so. But he was like really casual about it. And it's funny, it didn't bother him at all. So my father sold the house. He sold it to a friend of his who held on to it for a year. And then he sold it and made a fortune. He sold it to someone that came in and put in the Kittery Outlet Malls in Kittery. And he had 6 acres and he got a whopping price. Not my father, but the person he sold it to. So instead of them destroying the beautiful colonial home, they actually picked it up and they moved it about a mile and a half down the road. And so several years later, I was living in California at the time. And I came back and was visiting people. And I'm driving by and I see it on the opposite side of the road. And there's an antiques for sale sign. I thought that was pretty funny. Someone selling antiques in my father's old house. Because that's what my dad did. So I pulled in and there was a young guy in there and he was cool and was talking to him for a while. And I started feeling comfortable enough to ask him the question. I said, is this anyone ever talk about this house being haunted? And he looks at me and goes, do you mean the little girl in the white dress? And I said, yeah, the little girl in the white dress. He says, yes, my daughter was talking in the other room about 2 or 3 months ago. I heard her talking and I wondered who she was talking to. And when I went in there, she said she was talking to a little girl in a white dress who disappeared when daddy came in. So he talked to the people that in the front part of the building were accountants. And they said that they saw the little girl in the white dress as well. Now that it was a very historic home. And the story goes that around the turn of the 17th century, late 1600s, there was an attack at the house, an Indian attack, and everyone was killed except the husband and unfortunately all the children were killed. And the woman was taken away and she later escaped from the Indians. But I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it was quite a mystery. And the girl actually, whatever it is, I should say, stayed in the house as it moved down the road. I thought it was an interesting story. Okay, here's the last story, and this is what happened to me. And I don't want to say it was a ghost, but I will say this. I have no idea what it was. So about 1997 or somewhere around there, I had my auction company, and it was wintertime. It became rather slow in the wintertime. So I was working with this lawyer. And he told me to go over to this home in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and take everything I want for auction out of it. So I did that, and I went to give him back the keys. And I said, by the way, are you getting someone to clean out the house? And he says, well, I haven't really thought about that, but it does have to be sold. Do you have any ideas? And so I thought, well, I can do it for a certain price. So I gave him a price, and he said, sure, go ahead. Take the keys and go. So I had a worker that I called. His name was Ron, a great guy, worked for me for many years. So I asked Ron to help me out, and we went there with a truck and a trailer. And so Ron was working in the garage, and he took off to go to the dump with a load, mostly out of the garage. We had already worked a bit on the first floor. So I'm up on the top floor, and just a couple things. It was in the middle of the winter. There was no snow in the ground that I remember, but it was very cold, and there was no wind that day. And all the storm windows were down. All the windows were down in the house. So I had the door wide open in the front for moving things in and out. I was upstairs. I finished sweeping it down, and I took the broom and I slid it down the stairway. And so then I went into one of the bedrooms, and I cleaned out as much as I could of all the debris on the floor. And I had garbage bags, and I was loading things in garbage bags and putting them out in the hallway. So then I went into the closet, and when I went to pull the closet door open, I noticed that they didn't trim the bottom of the door when they put the carpet in, which was, I don't know why they never did. But so you had to really yank the door open and drag it across the carpet just to get it open. So I did in the closet, and I'm throwing away all the coat hangers and stuff like that. I fill up the garbage bag, tie it up. I carry it out in the hallway, and all of a sudden, boom, the closet door slammed. I went back in the room. I look around, all the windows are down. I walk over to the closet door, and I pull it open, and it's dragging on the carpet. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I turned around, and when I did, the front door slammed. Again, I was the only one there. There was no wind. So I thought, I'm getting the heck out of this house. I walk down the stairs, and the broom is leaning up against the door that just slammed. So I went outside. I was scared to death. I went outside, and I waited for Ron to come back. And he finally drives back. And so I told him, I said, I'm not going back in there alone. You please come in. We'll finish the downstairs. But I'm not going alone. The place is haunted. He started laughing at me. He always had a great sense of humor. He started teasing me and making ooh noises, and then trying to scare me when we're inside and stuff like that. So we were just about done. There was only a couple of things left in the garage, and he had to take off. So he took off in his own truck. My truck was there at the time with the trailer behind it. It was pretty much loaded up. There was just a couple of things left. And so he pointed over, there was a basket in the middle of the floor that it was one of those wicker type flower baskets with a big loop on it that goes way up like that. And he pointed over it. At the time, he worked at a funeral home part-time. And he pointed it over and he said, hey, that's just like what I see all the time in the funeral homes with flowers in them. Didn't think anything of it. So he leaves, and the only thing left in the entire garage is that basket. And I walk over to the basket and I grab it. And when I do, it's not going anywhere. So I pull on it, and it is stuck. So I pull really hard on it. It's not moving anywhere. And all of a sudden it pops in half, and the base is still on the floor. So I toss it in the trailer, and on my way back to it, all of a sudden I thought, oh my God, I bet it's happening again. And I reached down with my foot and I kicked it, and it slid. There was nothing on the floor. There was nothing on the bottom of the basket. So that's my story of what happened again. I don't know if it was a ghost, but I do know one thing. It really happened. And there's got to be some type of explanation for what it was, but I have no idea what it was. So that's it for this little Halloween special. And these are my true ghost stories, and I hope you enjoyed it. My name's Martin Willis, and don't forget to check out our show. Is UFO show is every Tuesday live here on YouTube. And thanks for watching and listening.